The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I hope you're enjoying this day. I just 2 days ago taught my Anal Sex for Everyone workshop at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood. And there was a standing room only crowd. And there were these fantastic questions. And people came up to me afterwards and told me just the most amazing stories, including one couple who first became aware of my work back in the 90s when I appeared on my first episode of Real Sex 25 on HBO. And that is pertinent to today's guest. So let me tell you about her. Jessica Holter, also known as Ghetto Girl Blue, is a writer, a visual artist, and a public speaker. She is most famous for creating the Punani Poets in 1995. Her television debut on HBO's Real Sex 24 and 26 launched the controversial theater company into popularity back in 2000. She's the author of the Punani Poets' Verbal Penetration, The Punani Experience, The War Between Tops and Bottoms, and AKA Dead Man, an Epiphany Brenner mystery. She has also self-published 6 other titles under her Punani brand. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Jessica.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be talking to you.
I am too, because like we were some of the early days of Real Sex. Like I did mine in like 99 and you did yours in 2000.
Yes.
Back before, you know, before like Amber Rose had her own show on VH1 and before anyone would put sex on TV except for HBO.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you, I've been in doing research for the show, you have a really fascinating background. And the first place that I want to start is actually church. Because,
oh, wow.
Yeah, you were really active as a young person in church, and you actually early on felt the call to preach. I might argue you are a preacher, but like of a different kind now. But I'm wondering about those early years in church, how that informed what you do today, which some people may see as the opposite end of the spectrum, you know, producing this educational, entertaining, erotic performance and theater. And what is it like? What is your relationship with your spirituality like today? So there's a lot of questions there. I know.
Fine. So I would say that upon my independent readings of the Bible when I was about 10, I guess, starting at around 10, I noticed it was really anti-female, which bothered me a lot, like even as a very young woman. And, you know, the Bible is not, it does not avoid the conversation of sex. There are many, many discussions about sex, and even things that are taboo are in the Bible. Your minister might not choose to read about them, but there are some crazy stories in there. And I guess some of my early memories included like the story of Lot and his daughters, how he was going to give his daughters, his virgin daughters, to the townsmen to save these male angels. Like, that really bothered me. I was like 10 when I read that story. And then later, how his daughters got him drunk and slept with him. And I mean, this was erotica to me at that age. Mm-hmm. Like, I had never seen anything like this before. Because they got him drunk because they thought they were going to be childless and they should sleep with their father because they were like living in this, I mean, crazy stuff, right? Just crazy stuff. So I never really saw the Bible as a thing that did not discuss issues of sexuality. And I saw it as a book that was really just a compilation of poetry, really, by some very anointed writers. I think it's inspired, but is it all actually, you know, from God? I don't know. It's arguable, I guess. But I don't feel like we should avoid conversations about sex because of it, like, because the Bible has a certain slant to it. I mean, it's written mostly by men. So we women, we have to create our own stories, our own perspectives on our sexuality. And there was no one doing it, especially for the African-American community at the time I decided to do it. No one was talking about it. I mean, it was so taboo. My first show after doing HBO, my first live show was at the University of Colorado, and we were protested by the Black Student Union there because people weren't ready to talk about sex. And it's really, really interesting, actually, what's going on now, that they're giving us a voice and allowing us to talk about it from our own perspective. But I mean, some people might see it as taboo. I really don't. At no point at all did I ever feel any shame or any pressure to backslide on what I had started. Like, from the beginning, I was just like, yes, let's do this.
But what did that feel like to have the Black students actually protest your presence?
My manager at the time was just like, this is great. This is good publicity.
Yeah, no, it often is. Yes.
Yeah, I really didn't. It was a little embarrassing, I guess, for me that, you know, we had 2,300 students there and none of them were African American and we were an all Black cast. I mean, that was pretty embarrassing. And what I mean by embarrassing is I felt like, wow, are we in the Stone Age? Like, like, not my people. But yeah, you know, I mean, it's okay. It's okay. But Black people have come a very long way since then. I think they thought that not only was I putting Black sexuality out in the universe for people to scrutinize, but I was also somehow putting some type of stain on the art of poetry, which was sacrosanct or something. I don't know. It was really weird.
That's really interesting that you'd be sort of called out on the politics of respectability from two angles, like the respectability mm-hmm. of that Black women are supposed to uphold, and then also this sort of respectability of this old thing called poetry.
Absolutely. But, you know, I started the project specifically because I wanted to promote AIDS awareness to African American women who, at the time when I started the project in 1995, comprised about 23% of the newly diagnosed HIV/AIDS cases, which I thought was a huge number. Now we are like, it's close to, I think, 68%. something really, really high. But at the time, I thought, who are you to judge when we're contracting HIV? I mean, clearly you're not practicing what you're preaching. There's a lot of fucking going on. And it's happening unprotected, and it's happening indiscriminately. And we have to deal with, you know, the issue of black men going to prison and being exposed to it on a more regular basis. We have to deal with poverty and all of the other issues that affect our sexuality. Why not talk about it? Like I said, at no time was I in any position at all emotionally or mentally to backslide.
That's just amazing, especially that early on in the AIDS crisis. Okay, we are already at our first break. I can't believe that, but we are. Okay, so everyone, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you know, you may know the Punani poets from HBO's Real Sex, as we talked about, Playboy TV, Playboy Radio, BET. But when we come back, Jessica's going to give us a taste of, by reading one of the pieces from one of her books. So we're going to get an actual, you know, taste for our ears, at least. It's like a mixed metaphor of what the Punani poets are all about. So don't go anywhere. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I hope you were here before the break, but if you're just joining us, my guest today is Jessica Holter, who is known best for creating the Punani Poets back in 1995, and they are still going strong. And I wanted Jessica to share a little piece of this, just this incredible performance history, really, starting in the mid-90s and still alive today, and doing shows all over the country. So, Jessica, what are you going to read for us?
The War Between Tops and Bottoms.
Okay, this is one of my favorite all-time pieces, so I'm really excited that you're reading this. Okay, The War Between Tops and Bottoms.
Yes. Late. Her hips pressed against my ass. Hot. Because he was watching. It's like that. It could be. But what she really wants to do is fuck a man in the ass. Like that. Yup. She's never done it before. I lied, not knowing it yet. 45 minutes and a bridge ride later, my phone rang. Booty call, booty call, booty call. I wondered if I could download that ring and set it for men who phone disrespectfully after 10 p.m. It was 2:15 in the morning. Is it cool? I'm on my way to your pad. I looked at my woman as if to ask for permission. She returned a sly glance as if to say, bring it on. 5 minutes inside, he was just parking, but she was already showered and strapped. I had seen her that way many times before. Her plump ass squeezed between three black leather straps, holding in place a 9-inch dick that I had handpicked from Good Vibrations to match the John Henry hunk of a man I used to call my husband. It was large, slightly flexible, jet black, and bulged with human vein-like texture. I had a special relationship to this dick. It was mine, and I was particular about it. To me, it was as real as any dick, as in relationships. It would only stray if I got careless and lost it, or as in tonight, chose to give it away. It was huge next to her small body, but trust, she wore it and used it like she had grown it. She was soft butch, bisexual by admission, and beautiful by even Hollywood standards. If she were an ice cream, she'd be a Creole mocha blend. A tiny package she was, full of surprises, hairs on her chin, egotistical and a Taurus. Even her cum smelled like a man. Yet her breasts were nearly as large as mine, and I was busting provocatively out of the double D. I'd lie if I said living this life didn't bring thoughts of Jerry Springer to my mind from time to time. I giggled like the child I felt like, anticipating nowhere to hide. She made a cup of coffee, sipped it wearing nothing but the dick and straps. I blushed, abandoned her to the shower. Doorbell rings. I scrubbed and tried to wash off the vodka so I could know that this was really happening. Now let me get this straight. Rinsing my cigarette breath again, spitting water. My former lover is coming over to let my lesbian lover fuck him in the ass. I shook my head a couple times, but the thought was still there. My heart would not stop racing. It wasn't sexual excitement. I was pretty sure about that. It felt more like the nerves that flutter about your stomach when you know you've done something wrong and your mama has found out, but you haven't made it home yet and your sister is running towards you shouting, ooh, you gonna get it. Accepting the inevitable, you can only hope she falls. I had known him for as long as I had known my own sexual being. I was a virgin when we met. He introduced me to the freak in me and has kept her skills on point for nearly 20 years, but never this way. Damn, my mama told me he was gay. I was thinking this when he stepped into the shower. He washed my body, kissed me everywhere, just like he used to, and did that thing he does with his thumbs, massaging my inner thighs down to the bone, gently stretching my pussy with circular motions until I had the urge to press down and give birth to another level of our homie lover friendship. I was melting in the heat. I cooled the water down, kissed the softest lips I have ever known, and said goodbye to lovemaking as I had known it with him. My mama and women of her generation would have stopped us dead in our tracks because there are some things you just don't hang out to dry. And what was going down tonight was definitely going to leave some dirty laundry. She made it easy to get started. She didn't believe in awkward moments. He stepped out of the shower. She pushed me into him. He held me tight, lit a joint, passed it around. The kissing commenced quickly. I couldn't suck her pussy with her strap on and her legs so tight like they always are for me. So I sucked her dick, then his. He ate my pussy, then tongue-kissed her ass. She ate my pussy, then tongue-kissed him, then put her tongue to his rim for a very long time. He wanted to enter her. She wasn't having it. I stepped out of the room to grab two rubbers while they decided who's on top, what's on second, I don't know. Third base came so quickly, I didn't have time to think. I sat back and took a lesson in testosterone, waiting just a few moments to see if he would give up the ass right away. A few more of her famous tongue lashings inside and outside of his asshole, and she was going to be in there. I couldn't bear to watch him go out like that. I wanted to know, but I couldn't watch. So I did what any woman in denial about the sexual preference of a man she's loved since childhood would do. I slipped my body under his, shoving my hips into his. I spread my legs, spread them wide, opened my pussy up in the candlelight, wet my fingers, slapped my clit, pushed my fingers in and out of myself, testing the waters with my own tongue, and attempted to flood the room with the intoxicating pheromones of my good pussy. But all I could smell was ass. As she dug deep into him, with such aggression, her force urged him deeper inside of me. Part of me hoped for a fast win in this game between the war, between tops and bottoms, for the sake of my health. Because this was 2004, and I had been fucking a man who desired a dick in his ass for nearly half my life. The other parts of me were extremely turned on, extremely jealous and angry over how I had been a sexual fool, seeing all the warning signs, heeding no warning. What was more, I hadn't even been giving him what he was really looking for. My body grew hotter as he kissed me briefly, remembering me, calling my name. I drew my pussy like an M16 and fired into the dark. He spread my thighs wider, fucked me with his tongue, sucking my fat lips on the upstroke. A couple of feet away, I could feel her tongue lathering up his ass. His hips began to roll. Pow, she slapped it with a magical sting and raised the ass high into the air with the power possessed in her fingertips. My man was now my woman's bitch. And the 9-inch dick I had handpicked from a little Berkeley sex boutique that reminded me of my husband and gave to my lesbian lover to fuck me with was now in my soulmate's ass, deeply in his ass. Stop, he pronounced. Candy in my ears. She withdrew. He caught his breath, then whispered, tell her to put it back in. My pussy got numb. He continued to fuck me, I think. Mostly she fucked him. She fucked him and busted so many times before they finally came together. Their unified moans and grunts were like a song, a dirty rap song. I added some curse words and moans of my own, but my pussy was only wet with her juices as they shot on his ass and down his thighs and dripped down to tease me. But he still wanted to enter her. In 4 years, I hadn't even put a finger inside of her. She almost didn't lay down for that, gave it the political lesbian try before her legs were spread so far apart, I didn't recognize her or her porn star vocabulary. The pair weren't fighting anymore. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, he repeated emphatically over and over as he dressed. He really meant that shit. I had 2 G's in my bed, giving me the kind of truth you don't even get in church. I had no reason to be mad. I set the whole thing up. I had asked for a pass to a game that was not for suckers. He wanted something that I wasn't willing to give, and now that I know this, I can choose not to put myself at risk. I wasn't mad anymore, because I was no longer a fool. Just maybe a little grossed out. I mean, except for the fact that the entire room smelled like ass, it might have even been cool. But the thought of where his ass goes on nights he can't find a woman so willing to engage in anal play was a little bit scary. It was 4:15 when he went home to his wife. I drank my girl's cold coffee, sat down at my computer, and ordered a new dick online.
Okay, that's my one person round of applause. Wow, there is so much going on in that story, Mike. I don't even know where to begin.
I know. You know that story. I turned that story into a novel. That novel is The Punani Experience. And it's available on Amazon. There was so much going on in the poem, I had to write the book.
I mean, there's just layers and layers and layers. And I feel like it addresses so many taboos and so many conversations that even back in 2004 were not being had about sexual fluidity, about sexual desire and pleasure, about safer sex, about sexual communication.
About that male G-spot.
Right, about the prostate, about straight guys who like getting fucked in the ass, or in this case, bisexual, or however he identified that guy. It boggles my mind because I feel like that in combination with what you were saying, that you were inspired to even start this work because of the AIDS crisis and how you saw it hit the African-American community and the conversations that kind of weren't happening.
Yeah.
I want to ask about kind of the medium that you decided to work in, right? So if you feel inspired that you've got to address these issues of sexual health and communication, you could go a number of ways, right? You could become a traditional activist and, you know, run in the streets. You could go into public health work. You could do all these things. But you decide to start this troupe of amazing writers and performers. And I'm wondering why you went that direction.
Oh, that's easy. Black people love entertainment. It is so much easier. Any message you want to get across to my community, the Black community, you can do it through entertainment. We would get a lot more accomplished if a lot of artists would use their platform to create conversations for African Americans. We hold our entertainers with high regard.
Ah, so you feel like it was the medium that was going to reach the most people?
Yeah, it had a certain hip hop flavor to it. I have an album that goes with my first book. Well, I have a few recordings, so you can get them in audio format. And then live theater. It was an interesting twist on live theater, because most live theater for Black people is reserved for the Christian faith. So there really wasn't anything from the secular world at the time that would reach people. But I figured, hell, like Jesus, you know, he did not mingle among the upper echelons of society. Like, one of his favorite people was a hooker. So
exactly.
I absolutely wanted to take advantage of the opportunity that was already there to reach people through live entertainment. So adding some music and some literature to that, you know, there's an old saying, like, if you want to keep a secret from a Black person, put it in a book. I put pictures in the book. I've converted pieces from the book into live entertainment so that people can come and experience it in person together in a show that is interactive and absolutely incredible. It is fantastic, and it is familiar. The stories that they hear will smack of moments from their own lives. You know, I've done this in a way to make it tangible and accessible to people who oftentimes end up surprised that you know, what they get. They really don't expect what they get.
It's actually really subversive, right? That you're mm-hmm. sort of promising this, like, sort of sexy good time. Who doesn't want a sexy good time? But then you're delivering layers and layers of conversation starters.
Yeah, just like professional comedians do. You know, they say, you know, while you're laughing, I'm going to stick the truth in your mouth. So that's pretty much what it is. It's reality theater. It's a perfect opportunity to educate yourself and stimulate yourself at the same time. I'm having a, a fabulous time. I told you about Nikki Morgan is helping me to bring it to even a more spiritual level with her touchless orgasm demonstration that she does in the show. And she also does like a interactive portion of the show where she actually engages the audience in mind reading, getting them connected to each other through the power of vision and touch. I mean, oh my God, we are really taking this to an amazing, spiritually sexual place that people are really enjoying.
Well, that's a great segue. We are going to take another commercial break, but coming up after the break, Nikki Morgan, who is on tour and has been in a bunch of the shows, is going to join us on the phone. And we're basically going to hear what the Punani poets are up to today, how their message has continued, how it's changed, what their shows are like. So don't go anywhere. More Sex Out Loud when we get back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Just a few announcements before we get back to our guests. Hey, I want to remind you I'm on Instagram. I'm at Tristan Taramino, and I post lots of photos of what I'm up to, and you can sort of follow my adventures when I am on tour and at my workshops, and sometimes there is food porn, and sometimes, you know, just like everything else, you'll also see my dogs. Okay, and then this September, as I said last week, I'm really busy. September 1st, I am kicking off the month by teaching my Open Relationships 101 class at the Pleasure Chest in Chicago. It's at 8 p.m. and it's free. Then later in the month, September 18th to the 23rd, I am going to be the guest in residence at Unit 1 Allen Hall at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. This is an amazing week-long residency at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, where I teach every night and I live in the dorm with the students and I do drop-in hours. And it's just, I've done it before 5 years ago. It was an incredible life-changing experience. I cannot wait to go back. And of course, the nighttime events are open to the entire University of Illinois community. Then I'm flying to New York, where I'll be teaching two things at SHE, the Sexual Health Expo, September 24th to 25th, which is in Brooklyn this year. Brooklyn. Can't wait to see you again. And finally, I teach my fantasy role play class. This is like an oldie but goodie that I haven't taught in a while, and one of my favorite classes that I teach. That's going to be at the Pleasure Chest, New York City, on the Upper East Side, September 26th, 8 p.m., also free. So check out the schedule and how you can find out more about what I'm doing on my website, puckerup.com. Click on the tour page. And then in October, I'll be at Sex Down South, sexdownsouth.com. Register now, people. Wait until you see their lineup. It's completely amazing. So I can't wait to be back in Atlanta in October. Okay, so before the break, we got to hear this amazing piece from my guest, Jessica. And, you know, the Panani Poets is a strong brand and a theater company dedicated to this kind of unique edutainment. There are hardcore theatrical presentations that surround issues of sexuality as it pertains to economics, religion, politics, communities, mores, self-esteem, and health. And the shows are a really fascinating combination of spoken word, poetry, music, erotic performance. I've seen a little BDSM in some of the shows, sometimes lap dancing, sometimes burlesque, a little bit more. So it's the spirit of this remains and it continues. And we have on the phone, actually, Nikki Morgan, who has been performing in the show since February. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Nikki.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you. A pleasure.
So tell me a little bit about you and how you came to be a part of the Panani Poets.
Actually, you know what? I connected to Panani Poets through one of her performers that we'll actually see tomorrow night in the New York show. And when she connected me to her, I didn't initially know that it was Panani Poets. I just knew, you know, someone had interest in what I did. And when it occurred to me that it was Panani Poets, all the memories came back of HBO and Real Sex and how much I enjoyed Jessica's work. So it was an honor to be a part from that point on. And Jessica and I connected in a very unique way.
And so what do you do in the show?
So specifically, I work to, I always tell the audience, I raise the sexual energy in the room. I bring a connection between sexuality and spirituality, and also assist in learning how we can use orgasmic energy, sexual energy, creator energy, for ways to enhance our sexual lives and beyond.
And how do you do that?
So one of the things that that I do in the show is I engage the audience with some energy exchanging exercises, so they can be aware of their subtle energies. And towards the end and finale of the show, I call an audience member up and also ask the audience to participate in achieving full body orgasm without touch. So generally every night we are gifting orgasms to the audience, and when they leave, it's actually much more than they expected. As Jessica said before, it's you even get to look at orgasm in a completely different way than when you first arrived.
This reminds me of this amazing work that Barbara Corrales does. So I learned about like breath orgasms from this urban tantra teacher and sex educator, Barbara Corrales. And I love the idea that you're sort of harnessing the energy of the room, which must itself be kind of erotic and kind of charged and a little bit turned on, you know, from all of this entertainment, and then getting people to leave with, you know, with an unexpected orgasm. I love that idea.
I think a lot of people don't want to leave. That's usually, we usually finish, we yeah, usually everyone kind of wants to stay. And of course, you know, I mean, after an orgasm, you know, you do kind of want to relax a little bit and indulge in this wonderful bubble of love and pleasure that is residual even after you leave.
And what is your favorite part, besides what you do, of these shows, of being a part of them?
Oh, my gosh. It is a toss-up because Jessica's poetry, oh, my gosh, she's just, she really takes you there. She creates the colors. She really brings you through the stories, as you have already experienced. But if I wasn't calling on that, which is the base of all of the shows and the reason we're here, then I'd say my next favorite would be the kissing contest. The kissing contest where we bring up volunteers from the audience, and they get to really express their love for each other and their passion for each other, and everyone can be a witness of this passion and share in the co-creation of it. And while we call it a competition, you know, no one loses when it comes to kissing and passion and sharing that.
And do people ever get up who don't know each other very well, or is it all couples who get up and kiss?
Well, thus far as my experience has been, it's only been people that knew each other. But I think we'd be open to new people to get to know each other. I think that would be kind of awesome too.
And on the break, you had this really strong reaction to the piece that Jessica read, The War Between Tops and Bottoms. So I'm interested to hear, like, your, you know, 1 minute take on what that piece said to you.
Oh, my goodness. So many things. I'll say pegging is one of those taboos that Jessica had mentioned, that in general, you know, preference is one thing, but fear of it and fear of your body is something that is still very embedded amongst all of us and all cultures. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to accessing that male G-spot, as she referred to it, men have no idea the type of pleasures that they can experience if they just kind of allowed themselves to get past these taboos that, you know, I feel like we've sort of now come out of or are coming out of in America especially. Because when I'm dealing with my male clients, while women, we are still learning how to speak up, and we are also acknowledging that we are sexual beings that can speak out. Men actually deal with a different type of repression, sexual repression, and so being able to explore deeper parts of themselves, whether it be emotionally or different parts of their bodies, without feeling shame, really holds them back from, you know, a grander conversation that happens between genders, and it doesn't have to be. And this has, you could be heterosexual, however you identify. Just having comfort with your body and allowing yourself to receive a new level of pleasure is important. It's a fractal of life.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that so strongly about that piece. And also because there's one thing to read that piece on paper. There's another thing to be in a room full of people and hear that piece in a sort of collective sense and be there all to kind of witness it, all at different levels of probably comfort, experience, right? I mean, there must be intense reactions to it. Is that true, Jessica?
Yeah, at first, men were really, really uncomfortable. Like, they would need to take a break and leave the room, some of them. I think the person who normally does it, who's sensational, loved poet, she's been with me for like 9 or 10 years now, masters the piece. And she's got a smaller frame, than me. You're not looking at her so much in a sexual way, you know, with titties popping out and everything. She really can get lost in the words, and she adds comedy to it to relax people. Mm-hmm. So, like, in her delivery, like, she just has this comical edge to it that I think makes people a lot more comfortable than when I do it. But yeah, initially when I first started doing it, people, the discomfort level was definitely there. It was a little intense. But now, like, when I mentioned that I was going to do it and I didn't get around to it at the DC show last night, but afterwards people were like, oh my God, I was so looking forward to hearing A War Between Tops and Bottoms. Women wanting to explore that more. And I've noticed a lot of the couples admitting to me that they do engage more in anal play. Like, I did not get that 3 or 4 years ago. People would not admit to that.
Right, right. Okay, we've got to take another break, but we are going to talk much more about this and what they're up to. It sounds like there's a show tomorrow in New York, people, that you've got to get your butts to. So, more after the break, and details on New York and upcoming shows when we get back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Since 1971, the Pleasure Chest has firmly believed that everyone has a fundamental right to pursue sexual fulfillment. With boutiques in New York, LA, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest is committed to offering free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to expand their sexual expertise. From butt sex basics to spank someone happy, going back to school has never been so fun. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a date for a fun and enlightening night out, or fly solo and pick up some skills for yourself. Their highly trained and sensitive staff is ready to help you find what you're looking for in a safe and judgment-free environment. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the coupon code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with every purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I've been talking with Jessica Holter, and who is the founder of Punani Poets, and one of the performers in the show, sexologist Nikki Morgan. And I'm wondering if we can, like, pull back a little bit, pull the shot back a little bit. And I want to ask you kind of a question that I asked myself when I was asked to speak at a conference recently about alternative relationships and sexuality. And I found myself first asking, like, myself this question of kind of how to position that in relation to what's going on in the world today. Because I feel like sexuality is often devalued in our culture and often thought of kind of like the icing on the cake, but not a central part of who we are, or not a central part of what we should be putting kind of time and energy and resources into. So in the wake of, you know, the most important movement happening right now, at least in America, Black Lives Matter, how do you explain to people that what you do, these shows that you put on, this erotic performance that includes education and entertainment and pushing people's boundaries, how that fits into a larger context of what's going on with Black Lives Matter?
Mm-hmm. We were discussing this over dinner last night after the show, actually, and it's not that I would venture to give up on our politics or political position here in America, but Nikki and I both agreed last night that there are more essential things, sex being chief among them, I think, sex and relationships, family building, are things that we actually do have control over. And to put the focus there, for me, I am very happy to do this type of work, to be this type of sex worker. I feel that talking to people about their physical and emotional connection is doing more of a service than I ever could, you know, just being in the streets talking about politics that, you know, may take a very long time to change. I might not see that in my lifetime. I'm almost 50. So this, I can see changes all the time. Like when I get emails from people saying, hey, you know, we decided to do this, or this was great and thank you for changing my life. Like I can see the effect that I'm having on people a lot more. So, and not taking anything from Black Lives Matter, like, you know, it is important. I grew up, you know, in the 70s where we were all about, you know, I'm Black and I'm proud. I'll say it out loud. It is important to change the psyche of people so they do feel pride. That is definitely essential to your happiness in a place like America that is driven by capitalism. But us as humans, as human beings, just with, you know, no race attached to it, we have to get closer to our sexual selves. We have to get more comfortable with the idea of that we are worthy of pleasure. Because too many of us feel that we are not worthy of pleasure, and even more of us feel that pleasure is not important, that somehow making money is the most important thing, which is a terrible disservice that they do to people here in America. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, like, sex is one of the cheapest forms of entertainment you could ever have. So if you are, you know, living in situations of poverty, you can still get pleasure. That is natural. That is a gift from nature that you can have. So as far as healing, I think sex is definitely one of the best ways to do it.
Nikki, where do you fall on this?
Oh, like I said, Jessica speaks to my soul, because this is something, it is the reason why I am in this work as well. And we agreed that this is a social service. You know, when I'm working with clients, you know, when it comes to sexuality, you know, you might have this one thing that you're looking to resolve or one thing that you're looking to try, but you're not realizing that there are so many other aspects of life that are affecting what's keeping you from, as she said, your pleasure and what you deserve. I mean, we come from a loving source. When babies are born, you know, if we're not engaged as babies with our laughter and all of the wonderful hormones that are released, which are very similar to pleasure or orgasmic hormonal cocktails that are released in our bodies, you know, it, without that, it causes stresses that you don't even realize that you're walking with. And so you don't know that you can have more pleasure. And then we start to create this habit of having a short capacity for pleasure. So whenever things do happen, when things that are pleasurable happen, we tend to reject it, or we fall back into really enjoying things like watching other people's pain. That's why reality shows are so great, or not being able to repress some or not being able to process some of the other emotions that we need that sexuality assists us with. And those emotional aspects of ourselves can be repressed in our sexual areas of our bodies. And again, affects our pleasure. So, you know, what Jessica has created, the platform that she has created, it in itself is a heal. It is a healing vehicle. And to be able to show and assist people in knowing and realizing that they can heal themselves from some of the pain and issues that they're going through. Oh my goodness! I mean, and please keep in mind when we increase our pleasure capacities, literally it changes how your frontal lobe, how your executive decision making in your brain functions. So when you start to increase your pleasure, you start to make healthier choices for yourself. You start to acknowledge that, you know, I deserve pleasure. I deserve good things. I'm a part of creation, so I deserve everything that comes from creation. So, no, I don't have to be treated in this way. I can opt something else. I can jump into my creativity, learn more, because I deserve it. Our sexuality is connected to everything. It is creator energy. Our sexual energy is creator energy. And that's part of, you know, what we cover in the shows. And again, but Jessica does it in such a way that really it resonates with everyone, because play and experience is our first teacher. That's our first teacher.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for being on the show. I want people to know that they can find out about Punani Poets at punanilove.com and also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Punani Poets. You can find out about upcoming shows. You can see links to some great show past shows on YouTube. And I just want to thank Jessica Holter so much for putting this together and keeping it alive. And thank you so much, sexologist Nikki Morgan, for joining us on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. I am live once again, and my guest will be autostraddle writer Carrie Wade, discussing their article on vulnerability as a disabled person. So until then, hit me up on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram at Sex Out Loud Radio, at Tristan Taramino, and take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.